Why are we still doing this?
Doing what?
Just episodes? I don't see True True Freaks anywhere on my Apple feed. I mean,
is it yours? Is it yours? Should be showing up again.
You know what?
Because that's back on. Because Sean put it. He's using his feed and routing it through there. The problem is he tried to do it with bins and he's having an issue, so he had them open up a ticket. But one way or the other, worst case scenario, we're just going to start a new feed and start, you know, back to the bins too.
Nope, my last Is It Jaws is hold on, let me go see all, make sure it's not. Nope, my last Is It Jaws is from last September. Superman and the Mole Man. I got no other episodes.
And you know why? Because you have to. I'm sorry. There's a new thing. You have to subscribe to it under the new one.
Okay, so I unfollow that one.
So do a search for Is It Yours, and you'll see there's two of them, and you have to subscribe to the one that.
Oh wow. I am not with it. I'm in the search box. You know what I'm typing?
Back to the Bins.
Even dumber.
Two True Freaks.
No. I typed the Diabetes. Word search.
You typed the word search.
I went search, and I'm like, what are you doing? Is it Jaws? Oh, it's where you and somebody else? Or wait, no, hold on. Oh. Oh, okay, so it's you and Sean with thumbs up, thumbs down. That's the new one?
Yes.
Okay, let me follow that one. Now, is there a new one for Back to the Bins?
There's going to be.
Okay, so Back to the Bins still doesn't work, is what you're telling me.
I'm telling you, he's working on it, and he had some issues.
Okay. Okay. Oh. Yeah, because I, like, saw we had an episode, like, oh, yeah, I might want to listen to that. I wonder if it's, and you had saw, I saw a post where you were like, yeah, it should be fixed.
Yeah, it is under the new feed, and that's probably what we're going to end up with doing with Bins. Either that or we just stop recording.
Avengers Spotlight! The Bins presents Avengers Spotlight. As I, Paul Spataro, am joined by my good buddy, Dr. Bill Robinson, and we are continuing to look at the Kang Initiative. What's happening, Dr. Bill?
The Kang Initiative? I thought this was Gone with the Wind.
From the cover, you would think so. Atlantis burning.
You know, and I didn't get that until when I sat back down this morning and I pulled up the cover and went, God, that's Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, it definitely. I didn't get that until you just said it. But once you said it, yeah. I'm going to say off the bat, I'm not crazy about this cover.
Hey! Actually, I think the cover is, I don't know. I mean, it's, I got no major issues with it. I kind of wasn't crazy about the whole book.
I liked the book. So I think we're gonna have some disagreement here, because I liked the book. I wasn't crazy about the cover. This cover would not make me want to pick up this book. I like the layout. I like the concept, but just in execution, it just looks a little dull to me. I don't really like the images of the faces and the almost monochromatic nature of it is just, you know, it's just like I would pass it up in a store if it wasn't a series I was getting regularly. But I like, you know, the images of the buildings and the way they look like they're falling apart in flames.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind, you know, the main image of Marcus and Carol, but it's just the way it's, like I said, in execution, it doesn't live up to what I feel like it should be.
I like the cover. I mean, I just like the cover. I like the homage to Gone with the Wind. I mean, it has to be. It has to be an homage to it. All right, yeah,
I think you're right.
I mean,
the cover is by what is it, Kieran Dillon?
Yes. Kieran Dwyer.
Okay, I knew it was Dwyer. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the cover itself, I'm not that crazy about. And then we start the story, and you'll give your synopsis in a moment. But the story starts with like a flashback, and it's got that same washed out look to it. So I started reading it, and I was thinking, yeah, I'm just not going to like this. But then once it gets past that flashback, I like the art very much.
The art is hit and miss. There's like a couple shots that I'm like, is this Garcia and Layton, or did Mike Allred jump in for a panel and draw this?
Oh, you point that out as we go through it. But in the meanwhile, you want to give your synopsis?
Sure. And the synopsis. Well, first off, we'll give the credits where credit is due. Kurt Busiek is the writer. Manuel Garcia is the penciler. Bob Layton is the inks. Tom Smith is the covers. Colors, Richard Starkings and Comicraft's Albert DeShenze are the letters. Kieran Dwyer, as we said previously, is the cover artist. Mark Sumerak, I am Sumerak, is the assistant editor. Tom Brevoort is the editor. So, all right. Well, the synopsis is, I'm going to read the flashbacks because it's broken up a little bit. I mean, all right. So in the flashbacks, Marcus Immortus teleports Carol Danvers to Limbo, seduces her using mind control, then impregnates her. And this all took place at Avengers 200 back in the 80s. Scarlet Witch assures a pregnant Carol the Avengers will stand by her. Will stand by her, and they say that's Avengers 198. What? That doesn't sound right. Because wasn't 200 when all this happened?
Yes,
she was taken. So I'm not sure about that footnote. Carol gives birth to an infant version of Marcus Immortus, who super rapidly grows to adulthood, but he is forced to return to Limbo. Still under his mental influence, Carol goes with him, and everybody let her go. Just saying. Good friends. Back in Limbo, Marcus Immortus continues to age rapidly and dies. Her mind clearing after... Oh, that's where I was thinking. Yeah, all right. Her mind clearing after his death, Carol realizes he mentally manipulated her. And then in another flashback, Kang teaches a young Marcus to be an honorable warrior. Aww. So does that mean if the other one was Marcus Immortus, this is Marcus Kang?
I guess so, yeah. I know, they're basically saying that there's different renditions, which kind of goes to like what we've seen in the Loki TV series.
Yeah.
I guess this would be two different versions of Marcus.
Yeah. Well, So the first line of synopsis makes me want to, I'm going to sing it as Elvis. Caught in a blast when the masses' base blew up. Sorry. Warbird awakens low on energy. Don't we all? Stalked by Plodex wolves. That would be the cat. She flees Marcus, the new Scarlet Centurion. As she flees Marcus, the new Scarlet Centurion. Man, who writes these? Or can I just not read? Comes to her aid. Shut up, Paul. But Warbird is hostile towards him, her would-be rescuer, partly because he works for, wait for it, well, yeah, we know he works for Kang, and partly because of his resemblance to her dead abuser, Marcus Immortus. Marcus says the resemblance is understandable since both were fathered by alternate timeline versions of the same man, but insists they are different people, and that his father Kang raised him to be honorable. A skeptical Warbird refuses to risk contact with Marcus's tech, when he offers to help recharge her power, but accepts his aid in penetrating the Master's base. Now, there's all these innuendos in this synopsis. Entering one of the Master's genetics labs, attacking Plodex creatures, they are distracted before they can spot the long-lost Avenger Marina in a specimen tube. Did you see that? Did you spot that? Okay. Battling and escaping the Plodex together, Warbird and Scarlet... There should be a the there. Horrible. The Scarlet Centurion make contact with the rest of Warbird's squad and recharge Warbird's powers. Is she actually going by Warbird at this point? I guess she has been, yeah. Warbird starts to trust Marcus a little, though she remains wary. He departs, saying he will do whatever it takes to prove himself to her, short of betraying his father Kang. Meanwhile, in the asteroid belt, Quasar and Living Lightning detect the triple evil entering Earth's solar system. Dun, dun, dun. All right, that's it. Bye.
So, as we've discussed already, the cover, I guess we can move right on to the story. So, interestingly, just because you don't see it that often, the story opens without a splash page, or at least without an initial splash page. You have your flashback scene before you get to a splash page. And I think it's kind of interesting, like this whole flashback scene shows what we've already seen in Avengers 200. But from his perspective, which I think is kind of cool.
Come on. You knew you were going to say it, but you probably didn't want to from a certain point of view.
Yes. So, I mean, I like that. I when I first opened this up and I saw the washed out colors for the flashback, I was thinking, I'm not going to like this. But I thought that was kind of cool that it shows it from Marcus's perspective or somewhat from Marcus. It shows it from more of an independent perspective almost, because it's not the same Marcus.
But... No, this is her flashback, so it's from her perspective. Because she's unconscious, like at the top of the page, there's a little grayed out, purpled out. Yeah, see,
yeah,
this
that's
is
true.
Her.
Okay, so it's her perspective, you're right. And then she's at the bottom of the page with some little thing on her cheek.
Snow.
Is it snow?
Yeah, because when we get
sure
to the big,
it's snow, it's not something more gross.
It's snow because that's when we get to the not obligatory butt shot of her laying in the snow in the opening splash or the 3-4 page in splash. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
So, yeah, and then it shows, you know, that she goes back and then Marcus ages incredibly quickly and dies.
Yeah.
Which then again goes to a thought process that, you know, it's a different version. What do they call him in the Loki series?
A variant?
A variant. Thank you.
Yeah.
So then they show her in the snow. And we do get a splash page. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Didn't they do this with Deanna Troi?
They did do something.
Because she had a child from like an energy thing that like went through her and then gave birth kind of like this because she had poof. She was pregnant or like, yeah. They ripped this off. Not here, but Star Trek ripped this off.
Sons of bitches.
Nothing yeah, it was a very similar type thing now that you say it.
Yeah.
So once we go past the flashback and we catch up to, I guess, you know, in air quotes, modern age or the current age, the color, you know, goes back to normal. And you see, in my mind at least, what a difference that makes. I think well, it makes the reading just that much better. I don't think that there's a different style in the flashback, but the difference in the coloring makes a huge difference to me and its accessibility.
Well, the flashback is, it's like a, I don't want to say sepia tone, but it's got
practically.
So it's more muted.
Yes, very much so.
You know, this reminds me this reminds me of a movie that I just recommended to Altiful at work because I was like, if you have a chance, you need to see the movie The Portrait of Dorian Gray. If only to see the scenes in because the movie is basically entirely in black and white. But the only time it switches the color and it's shocking when they do because when they actually look at his portrait in the movie, it's always in color, and it makes such a kick, like bam, when you change to that color. Have you ever seen that actual movie?
I never have.
It's got a young Angela Lansbury in it too.
A young Angela Lansbury, I think, was already old.
No, she is young. I don't remember the date this was made, but it was made off the top of my head. But it's that might be an interesting. Is it Jaws maybe someday? Because I'd be maybe. Curious to what you think. I mean, it's got its the guy that plays Gray is very the thing. I can't remember his. I'm doing a recommendation and I got no information.
No, but, why change? Who's why who's change? The older woman from Facts of Life?
Charlotte Ray.
She was on Car 54. Where Are You? In the very early 60s, and she doesn't look a day younger than she did in Facts of Life. And that's kind of what I'm picturing with Angela Lansbury.
No, she was I'll look some stuff up in the background about it, but anyway, when with the kick to color, it's much like that, and the slight twist to the movie is that okay. So we all know that the portrait ages and he stays young,
mm-hmm.
But in this movie, not only does the portrait quote unquote age and he stays young. But all the evil, he's a horrible person. He does some nasty things. All the evil he does goes to the portrait. So each time you see the portrait, it becomes more and more grotesque. And, yeah, it's really... Yeah. I've only seen the movie once, and it stuck with me. And it was like I was late at night, and I was like, "Oh, what's this? Oh, young Angela Lansbury. I'm hooked." Oh.
I think maybe we're going to need to plan for that.
Mm.
Excuse me. So moving into the current day, we have a splash page, which of course focuses on a butt shot. That almost goes without saying, doesn't it?
Well, yep, that's what I said. Poof.
And she's there in the snowstorm, I guess fighting for her life as a Plotic. Is it Plotics? is
Plodex.
Plodex is approaching her, and
you know, so what's the plural of Plodex? Is it Plodicy?
Plodi.
Plodi.
That's what I'm going with.
Sorry.
So she's approached by them and just barely, you know, gets up the strength to kind of hold them off and go to some, you know, moderate shelter where Marcus comes to her rescue, calls her m'lady. Obviously, he's of an olden thought process or whatever you want to call it. And she quickly shrafts him because she knows what went on previously and feels violated, and I would say rightfully so.
I've been violated.
And the two of them do like two panels of fighting each other before he starts to, I just find it amusing. You know, she's fighting him off and he's like, I can't help but look and see how magnificent you are. it's just feels so condescending and just amusing. But he sets himself out as being a variant, saying he's not who she knew, and he's there to help her. He sets a fire, he explains, and then the two of them venture into, I guess it's the master of the world's chambers.
Yeah, hold on, I was slightly distracted, imagine that. And I'm trying, there was somewhere in here where it looked like Mike Allred, or is it coming up? Well, so there's a couple shots in here that the head to body proportions don't really look that great. When she says, what kind of assistance? Whatever's in my power to give, blah, blah, blah. You absorb energy. The way he's, I don't know if it's the suit, but his head looks like slightly out of proportion with his body. Right. It's nitpicking.
I'm trying to look for the panel that you're talking about. Which page is it on?
I'm not sure what the page on this particular thing, because I have ads as well in here. So.
As do I.
Oh, well, then it would be page 11, the first panel on page 11.
Okay.
A little off.
Yeah, I see
off.
Which one you're talking about. I guess I could see what you're saying, but it feels okay to me.
And now I can't.
It's a your mileage will vary kind of thing.
Yeah. And then he's kind of got derpy face on the panel below that, like, I do not understand.
Yeah, that is a little derpy.
But now I'm not seeing the one that looked like Allred. Maybe I'll see it again.
Maybe you will, Lois. Maybe you will.
Oh, I see it, but it's further on. I'll wait till we get to the narrative.
Okay. So he relays his history. They go into the chambers, and she specifically says he was after one of them, Marina, but I heard she died. I wonder how he managed. Let's take a look around. And then we see Marina in a chamber right behind her. How does she miss that? I mean, they do kind of hit you over the head with it. If somebody's reading this book and they don't see that, it's because
she's right there. Looking. She's right behind you. What?
And then they get accosted by multiple Plodi.
Plodi with guns.
And he's fighting them off, and she wants to. She's torn because she doesn't want to work with him at all. But
these guns don't go pew pew pew. They go boom boom boom. Sorry,
sounds like a song.
Boom boom boom. Gee, I wonder what song that sounds like. Oh, I was doing boom, 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 let's go back to my room, but you're doing Underdog.
I just I often default to underdog.
So who's going to be the underdog in the Super Bowl today?
You know,
yeah, probably the Eagles, depending on if the refs go.
Even though you're listening to this much later, we're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't like either team. So any listeners that come from Philadelphia or Kansas City, sorry.
Matt.
Well, Matt would be one if he's actually listening.
Technically, I would too, because I was born across the river in New Jersey from Philly. So by default, at some points in my life, I was an Eagles fan just by geographic location. But, you know, modern day Eagles, I could care less. You know, now I live in Tampa. Now my team is the Bucks. For good or ill, for ill or will, they're my team.
Has their stadium survived okay? Because I know the Rays stadium is a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, theirs was fine, you know, because it didn't have a dome.
It's almost sounds like, theirs is fine. How are you?
We're all fine. We're all fine in the stadium. How are you? So what are we talking about? Oh, Avengers. Oh, yeah. I was like, how did we get to football? That's right. So, we go from poom, poom, poom to fam, 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 fam in another panel. But you got to love sound effects. And I don't know if I should comment on the crack warack panel.
Crack warack.
Yeah. Keep.
Yeah, go, I see it. She's doing the split, hitting two Plodi at the same time.
That's really stress testing that costume. That's all I'm going to say, because I am skirting an HR violation
that's right there. That is stress testing body parts that I don't want to body say parts on our PG-rated podcast.
Body parts and suit fabric. I'm like, those Plodex are going, whoa, okay.
So yeah, and she doesn't even want to touch Marcus. I guess for fear that he's going to somehow control her or whatever. But she drags him off because he was helping her, and they start to get something gets exploded that they start getting pulled into this other dimension where we have a Cthulhu type creature that they're being pulled towards. And she risks her own life to save him, I guess against her better wishes.
Wait. I didn't get that they were pulled into another dimension. I thought it was just like another room and he had some giant...
I don't know if it's a dimension, but it's
I think he just had another...
portal of some sort.
No, I think he just had another, you know, like the Plodex reject bin or something. Anyway.
Reject bin. You know, could that be what it is? I mean, like I said, it looks Cthulhu-like, but could it just be that it's like the Plodex birthing chamber or something like that?
Yeah, because I didn't feel that. Yeah, I thought they just like... But it's like it with a vacuum? Because why are they getting sucked in? Well, it says there's a wind, vacuum, and an agonizing scream of pain and rage in both their ears and minds. It doesn't really... the shattered bulk. Yeah, because this is a shattered bulkhead. Dank, fetid smell.
Ew.
Like my bathroom. Yeah, it's kind of vague as to what it is. So anyway,
but it's you know, it's as if they're reaching some sort of middle ground where they're kind of accepting each other now.
Yeah, she she grabs his fighting stick and and he's like, thanks for calling me by my name, Carol.
So, and then we have a momentary cut back to the regular.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, when he's sealing up the bulkhead, Carol's, yeah, I knew there was an egg. Oh, and this is the Mike Allred panel, too. So, you know, she says there was, wow, I stuttered it, and that's exactly what she says. She says there was something like that in the Alpha Flight files, too. It was supposed to be dead, but I'm betting that's the genetic pappy of all the Master's Plodex pets. And he says, perhaps. So it is
kind of effectively a birthing chamber.
Yeah. So that the last panel on that page where it says zzz, as a sound effect, that kind of looks like a Mike Allred face, how they're like a little bit stretchy. Sometimes they have an odd shape to them. You're familiar with Mike Allred, right?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the panel you're talking about.
It's,
I see the Kank Tank H.
Page 16.
16.
Tank Tank Ah.
That's on page 15.
Oh, yeah. Next page down. Bottom of the page.
At the bottom?
Zick.
Yeah, I'm not seeing Mike Allred there.
Each to each his own.
Yes. You and I have some... We differ on some things on this issue. But that's always cool. So Carol makes contact with Yellow Jacket, Quicksilver, and Silverclaw.
Did you just say Yeller?
Yeller Jacket. No, I didn't. Yellow not jacket. Intentionally.
Gonna have to take him out and shoot him, boy. Okay, old Yellow Jacket, I'm sorry.
She touches base with them, lets them know that she's going to be joining them. Again, she kind of reaches a detente with Marcus. And then we cut to an Avengers Deep Space Monitor Station that I didn't even realize existed. And what so do wait, we have?
She,
we have
oh, your, you know, I just, go ahead. I just got that she punches the wall to finish recharging. She absorbs the energy after she sends the message. Because I'm like, why did she punch the wall? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, because she's all yellow and glowy.
She's all yeller.
God, no, she's old yeller. You know, I vaguely remembered this deep space thing. But yeah, until it popped up here, I was like, huh?
Yeah, I had no real knowledge of this. I don't know under what circumstances, honestly.
Well, and who better to service it than Wendell Vaughn?
Quasar. We have Quasar, and it's the Living Lightning.
Yeah.
Has he been appearing in this, and I'm just been ignorant of him, or?
I honestly don't remember. I don't remember if there was, because. Well, I guess Kang wouldn't have to come from deep space, because I was like, how did these guys miss it? But he travels through time, so he could have just, you know, been there. So
I'm not really too familiar with that character.
Living Lightning, I want to say he was started in West Coast. I'm pretty sure.
That sounds right. That's where
he was at. I mean, if only I had something at, you know, a book right next to me that might tell me that, or a thing called the internet, but we're not here to look shit up. We barely know where we are. Oh no, where did my page mark go? Oh, there it is. Okay.
So they're in that space station. I do like the way Quasar's cape is shown with the starfield inside it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because of either his cosmic awareness or style? Question mark.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the actual purpose of it, but.
Because that's more of a, you see that more with Eternity, and I know his buddy Eon, I don't know if Eon is related. You know who would probably know who's yelling at us right now?
Oh, I know who would know.
Yeah, you know that I know that we know that Gene is yelling at us right now.
Gene likes yelling at us.
Mm.
And who can blame him?
Mm-hmm.
So they're there, and all of a sudden there's a... giant pyramid in space. I almost feel like there should be Lincoln sitting in a big chair.
So it's going to be Ramses.
So it is written, so it shall be done.
I was gonna either do that one or Moses.
But I got to say, I feel like this is... this is decompressed storytelling, in my opinion, and I think we might disagree on this, but it feels to me like it's decompressed storytelling done well. Because there isn't a lot or there aren't a lot of events that occur here. But I feel like there's enough character moments and information that's being given that it's all kind of, I'm good with it.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking last night when I reread this, that I was like, this... in one aspect, it feels like a pause on the action, but when I say action, I mean a pause on the overall story.
A pause on the story moving forward.
Yeah, we've been seeing big events, you know, taking place... big battles. Now we have a quick personal interlude that kind of maybe it doesn't take me out, but you like pause your breath. And they've kind of done that a couple times, not to this extent. This one's a little bit, you know, takes up the majority of the issue with, you know, I mean, really the outside of this, the only other, you know, we only have about two pages that even shows anything else that's going on outside of Carol and Marcus.
Yeah. So, and it's not like Carol and Marcus, Carol Marcus, when it rains it pours.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I just got that when I said it. I was like,
but but it's not like we were sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for the Carol and Marcus story to move forward. And yet, yeah. I feel satisfied having read this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, and to me, it wasn't, even though it feels decompressed, it wasn't like a 10-minute read. It still took its time to get through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm pretty satisfied with this issue. I liked it.
Well, then I guess we need to grade it.
Okay. Well, the cover, as I said, I'm not happy with. So the cover...
I still don't see how you're not happy with that cover.
I'm not happy with it.
I don't get you, man.
I don't know you anymore.
I don't know. Who are you?
I'm giving the cover a C because it just did not
a
grab
C?
Me.
A C? Jesus. I'll give it a C+.
The interior art, as I mentioned, it has this feeling of that, you know, with the sepia tones at the beginning, like that, oh, I'm not going to like this. But then when the artwork, the style doesn't change at all. But once we add the more bright colors, I enjoyed the artwork very much. So, I mean, you take the artwork on a whole, the penciling, the inking, the coloring. So I'm going to say a B+, that I really did enjoy it once it got there.
Hmm.
And the story itself, like I said, I feel like it's decompressed storytelling done right. So I'm giving that an A-. I enjoyed the story. I thought it really did a good job.
So you're falling at a solid B? Based on your cover?
Yeah, overall a B.
Okay.
What do you think? You didn't respond after cover.
Oh, well, I was letting you finish. So I could... Wait. What? You know, we totally missed the cover box. On the cover.
What is that?
Isn't that the picture from last issue?
Oh, that's last issue's cover.
Hold on. I have last issue still up. Yeah. Huh. Sorry. Yeah, but you know who's missing out of it? Carol. Because she was on the cover.
Okay.
She's right where the A. I mean, technically she's on the cover. Because she's on the cover. But she would be right down there below Cap's arm inside the A of the Avengers. I did not see that.
Yeah, I guess that's intentional that they played it that way.
Let me look at the next issue because I got that up too. Nope, that's a... Oh, no. Okay, so I guess... Oh, yeah, when this came out, because there's also a 9/11 ribbon on this cover, too.
Yes. That was not... Oh, I didn't even realize that either.
Oh, yes, and there's a burning city on the cover.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's not what that's a reference to.
Yeah. Well, no, it's definitely Gone with the Wind, but it's just bad timing. So the cover, I'm going to give the cover, I mean, I'm going to give it a B. The interior art, I mean, there's a couple little, wiggle waggles. I mean, way better than I can draw. So, you know, I mean, it's a few spots here and there. So I'll give the art I'll give it a B+. Maybe close to an A. And the story, even though it felt like a pause, it was a good pause. Another breather. This time a little longer. And then we're right back into WTF with the pyramid. Now, I don't remember who this is supposed to be. I'm trying not to read too far ahead. I glanced into the next issue. The next, let me give my final grade. So I'll give the story an A. So I'm like a B+. I'm like a slightly higher than you because I gave the cover a little bit better.
All right.
Almost breaking into the A. It's a very high B.
Just to give the listeners a little preview of what's to come is we will be having an interlude in our Kang Initiative coverage. I'm not sure if it's going to be right away or coming up down the line, but we're going to do a crossover where we're going to be covering Avengers Forever, three issues at a time. So there'll be two issues on Avengers Spotlight and two issues on, and I can't remember the name of the other podcast.
Shit. It's either, I'm not sure which feed he's putting on.
Oh, the Fanholes podcast.
Right, but this will be two Thunder, issues like Lightning or Comics Mother Blanker. Do you read them? I'm not sure. I don't remember which feed he's going to put those on.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be two episodes on Back to the Bins, two episodes on the Fanholes podcast under whatever banner they use, and then we'll get back to the Kang Initiative after we do that. But in the meanwhile, I hope you guys are enjoying this coverage because we're enjoying going through the book, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hope you had a real good time.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.